Hi everyone, welcome back to another episode of Wicked Darkness. To keep listening to us, make sure to follow us. Give us a like on Instagram and Facebook. We also have a YouTube channel that you can subscribe to. That's Soup Hit at 2009. So let's get into this week's episode. Hi, I'm Kathy, your host, and with me tonight is my fellow investigator, Brian. How you
doing?
Good
evening, how are you?
Good.
Good, good.
So tonight, we're going to be talking about Summerwind Mansion. Summerwind, as people know it now, is not what it was originally called. Back in the early 1900s, Summerwind was known as the Lamont Mansion for the Lamont family. So people are probably wondering where Summerwind is. It's here in Wisconsin. It was built as a fishing log cabin on West Bay Lake in the early 1900s. And West Bay Lake is in Land O'Lakes, Wisconsin. So you were just telling me, Brian, that the original owners, the builders, the Lamont family, they had surveyors come in. Is that what?
Yeah, they had, I guess it would be a Native American surveyor to see if this place or any of the grounds was buried on Native American burial grounds. And from what I've read and researched, it came up inconclusive. They couldn't tell yes or no about it. Mm-hmm. But this place was haunted right from almost day one, it seems like.
Right. So it was built, like I said, from the Lamont family, and it was in 1916, it was bought and renovated by and enlarged by Robert Patterson Lamont, who was an executive with the American Steel Foundries Corporation, and then became Secretary of Commerce mm-hmm. under President Herbert Hoover. So he was the one that his family was the one that talked about the first, you know, hauntings, I guess you could say, because he was the one that had the experience. Do you know what the experience was that he had?
I only have the things with the servants. Mm-hmm. They have found a translucent woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and walking down the mansion's driveway, and he discarded them. He didn't believe them. And then one evening, him and his wife were eating dinner and heard some rustling in the basement and went down to go look, and he brought a gun. He thought someone was in there, thought he saw a man, I think it was,
and
shot at the man, and there was no man, but they went down there later and found the two bullet holes.
Yeah, so there's two bullet holes that were left in the door.
Yes.
That it was in the kitchen area that they had seen it. But yeah, to the basement door that he aimed and fired through this apparition. And that was like when he saw the ghostly apparition, he fired the two shots and then they fled that night, that summer. You know, they just like, we're done. I'm not dealing with this and I'm out of here. And, you know, that takes a lot. You know, it's almost like Amityville, where except they lasted 28 days. I don't know exactly the whole time frame for the Lamont family, but they did the same thing. Like that was the straw that broke the camel's back. And he's like, that's it. I'm packing up our family. We're getting the heck out of here. So they fled that night and then it stayed abandoned for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then it wasn't until the Kiefer family in 1941 purchased the property, and they were only going to use it as a vacation home. So they really didn't have a lot that was going on, but Mrs. Kiefer, she always felt uneasy there. So she just didn't, she was like, I don't want to hang out here. I get that it's our family home in the summertime and our vacation home, but I really don't want to be here.
She left everything.
Yes. Yeah. And so she had tried everything and anything she possibly could think of to avoid going to this place. And it's kind of sad because, you know, your family's going there. It's in the upper woods and, you know, it's supposed to be a good time, vacation time. And she's just like not having it. But again, they don't talk, at least not that I've seen, they didn't talk a lot about any kind of experiences. Did you find anything that
No,
the
I
Kiefer
didn't find
family had?
anything much on the Kiefers at all.
Yeah.
Just basically, they got spooked and said, "We're out of here right now." And
Right.
that's all I could find on it too.
Yeah, and so then again, it stayed abandoned for a long time, a couple of decades. And then it wasn't until the 70s, because they sold it in the 60s, but it wasn't until the 70s when the Hinshaw family, Arnold and Ginger, that's where everything like amped up 100-fold.
Mrs. Kiefer too stated that she told her neighbors they could take anything they wanted from the house, but she
Yeah.
wasn't responsible for anything that could possibly happen to them. I thought that
Right.
was interesting.
Right. And she's like, the Lamont family, like, forget it. I don't care. I don't want it. It can stay there.
Good riddance.
I want nothing to do with it. It's only stuff, and I can go back and, I can buy new stuff, but I will not walk back into that
How
building.
scary is that when you
Yeah.
just want to get up and leave? I mean,
Right.
just everything you know, everything you have, everything you own, just leave.
And is it
There's something
because
going on.
she experienced so much
Yeah.
there in that little bit of time, but it's scary enough that she doesn't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
She doesn't want to, she just says, I don't want anything to do with the place. I don't want my things. Let's just forget about that chapter in our lives and move on. But Arnold and Ginger, they bought the mansion. They did the same thing, wanted to renovate it because it's been, in disrepair. It's been sitting around for a couple of decades. And, going through Wisconsin winters, they can be brutal up north. And same with the summers, and nobody's taking care of it, and it's, in the middle of the woods. So they want to make it their home. They actually want to live here full time. And then Ginger's dad moves in with them, but not into the mansion. He lives on the property, but in a trailer. And so, like I said, all this kind of like activity like ramps up around the Hinshaws, and they stayed there for a while, but at their own cost. It's kind of a tragic story. So I mean, they felt like they were being watched all the time. They had disembodied voices. There's rumor that they found a corpse in the wall. There was like cold gusts of wind. But the funny thing, again, they were trying to renovate this place, but they couldn't get a contractor
Yeah.
to work it. Like nobody wanted that. Like the they all know the stories, and they're all like, "Forget it. I don't want to work there."
And they
And
said
there's
one of the daughters supposedly had found a human skull with black hair in the crawl space by one of the daughters.
That's
Yeah,
insane.
but they couldn't. It says here they never reported it to the police and the skull was never seen again.
Well, what are you going to say? Hey, I
Yeah.
found this. And what are they
They
going to do? They're going to
I am
like
these
tear it
critics.
apart, and there goes your home,
Yeah.
And your home now turns into a crime scene. And I'm sure they could always go back and go like, look, this wasn't us. We didn't do it. Obviously this person has been here for a while, and it could have been somebody that, because it was such a time frame between ownership to ownership, there could have been people up there, just hanging out, and homeless people or just people in general, like, hey, this is a nice place, nobody's around it, and we know the story, so we're safe, we can hang out here if we want.
Yeah.
And kids, teenage place to go hang out, able to drink without mom and dad knowing anything,
Right.
doing any kind of funny stuff. Nobody is going to come up here and check on us because it's that spooky house on the corner on top of the hill. Nobody wants
And
to
in the
be
middle
near.
of nowhere,
Right,
you know,
right.
so.
So, and I can understand though the fear of, oh my gosh, now it turns into this circus of here we go again, where we've got bodies inside a wall. And Wisconsin, we just did an episode not too long ago about Ed Gein, who's also from Wisconsin. So, I mean, I'm sure the fear is there because it was around the same time period of, you know, we don't want this to turn into this circus and have people coming to our home and everything. But it seems like it wasn't Ginger and Arnold really didn't talk much about it. I mean, they did a little bit, but it was Ginger's dad that did all the talking. Like he was the one that told the story of what they experienced. And they talk about like a ghostly sighting of a 18th century clothed man who appeared to walk on the, in the halls at night and walk the grounds. But it wasn't until Raymond, Ginger's dad, who was trying to figure out who this could have been, he kind of named the guy. And he says it was Jonathan Carver. Do you know about Jonathan Carver at all?
Oh, I'm looking.
Yeah. So, a little thing about him. He was once a colonial explorer. He was a writer who explored much of Wisconsin. You know, back in the early 1700s, we had a lot of people coming from Europe to, you know, see what the United States actually has to offer. I mean, we technically were known as like the frontier land. For us who live in the Midwest, we don't think about it that way. We think of, you know, west of the Mississippi as being like the, you know, the Wild West and the, you know, the frontier land and everything. But in actuality, back then, we actually were that because they didn't cross the Mississippi at that point. And so they had people going around, and Jonathan ended up being one. Did you find him?
Got it.
Got it. See, we do our research. We just have to look through all of our research.
I'm flipping through every paper I have on this play. I mean, there it is. Yeah. Only to abandon because the mansion's room had the supernatural power to change shape and dimensions at will.
Yeah.
This place had a lot of stuff going on in it.
You know, and I remember watching a show back in the day, and I don't know if it was like Unsolved Mysteries or something similar to that. They talked about Summerwind, and I remember them talking about how you would walk down the hallway and the hallway would just stretch and get larger, you know, like longer.
Yeah.
Or they would go into the room and it would look completely different. It wouldn't look like the same room. It was like it changed. It, like the house was alive and it would change. It would morph into something completely different.
Yeah, you were just talking about not getting workers there. It says the property was often unoccupied due to alleged supernatural activity, and the Henshaws could not get workers to enter the home to do remodeling work.
Yeah. Well, and I don't blame them if this is actually what was happening, you know.
Yeah.
You walk in, your power tools are now gone because they're not in the same.
Say they find them in somewhere else.
Yeah. And how many times do we hear that on a haunted location, you put something down and something goes completely awry, and there goes, you know, whatever your tools, your equipment, it just automatically leaves that area without, you know, you leaving. You're right there and all of a sudden it's gone.
Yes.
And that's why these contractors are like, forget it. I'm not working at this place. This place is just creepy.
Yeah, that's interesting. Interesting, too. And they were saying, too, like, was it the... I got so many damn papers on this place. I'm trying to go through them. They were saying, too, that was it the windows would be open?
Yeah.
Yeah, the windows would be open random times of the dull day and all night, and
doors would open and close. What really got them was like footsteps. They could hear the footsteps outside their doors, you know, their
yes.
bedroom or whatever, but then it would stop in front of their door.
Yeah.
And they always felt like something was watching them, either around the corner, around from the doorway, you know, in the room itself. They always felt like eyes on them.
They said the kids would report a floating woman that would move in between, you know, would it be on the other side of the window, the door, the parlor doors.
Right.
Yeah, and that scared the crap out of the shadows flickering, you know, windows being open. Water pump would break down constantly. Just everything is culminating to this place just being active as can be.
Right.
And not just for one family, for everybody.
Everybody.
Not just one family.
Well, and then, you know, like I was saying with Jonathan Carver, Ginger's dad thought he lived in a trailer out on the outskirts of the property and that he would see this guy walking around, and he just put two and two together that it was Jonathan, because Jonathan was known to be exploring that portion of Wisconsin. And so what happened was, though, the King of England at the time, which at this time would be King Charles. And not King Charles that we have today.
He'd be old.
Yeah, he'd be very old. But King Charles, who at the time was the one that we had the Revolutionary War with and everything. But he offered large sums of money to anyone who discovered new waterways that would lead directly to the ocean. And so he actually, you know, Jonathan went around to around Wisconsin and everything. And what do we have? We have the Great Lakes. And what do they eventually lead to? The ocean. And then we have the Mississippi River that goes down into the Gulf and everything. And again, goes into the ocean. Mm-hmm. So the king is trying to figure out, you know, any way to do like a back door around the East Coast to come up from behind, basically, and get his troops in a different way. So he said, you know, if you can find me a different way into the United States through the waterways, we'll pay you. And then you'll get the recognition for it. But lo and behold, poor Jonathan finds a new waterway. And he reports back to England, tells him what he finds, and never received a dime from the king, from Parliament, never got any kind of recognition. So, of course, Jonathan is like, really? You know, I do all this work. You promised me that you were going to pay me, and then you didn't pay me?
No finders. Forget it.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to where I came from. I'm going to go to Wisconsin, you know, and I'm going to live out my days there. And so it seems like Jonathan decided Summerwind was going to be his place, that he was going to live there. But again, it still wasn't known as Summerwind. It was Ginger's dad who came up with Summerwind as the name. Do you know why? I was trying to find
it. I couldn't find it either. I was looking all over as to why it was named Summerwind.
Yeah.
And this was before Sinatra's time, so I don't know. You know, I don't know.
You know, it's funny you say that, because Scott was, when I said this is the episode that we're going to be talking about. You
uh-huh. know, that's the first thing I did, started singing that.
Yeah, he yep. started singing that and playing it on the radio.
Yep, it's a great song.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But he was the one that came up with Summerwind.
Yeah.
And otherwise, it was known as Lomont Mansion.
Yeah.
Which rightfully so. I mean, the family that created the mansion was the Lomont family. But it was, like I said, Raymond seemed to be the one that told the story. It wasn't Ginger. It wasn't Arnold. It was Raymond. And, the Henshaw family, they were visited so many times by this spirit. It just took a toll on them, like completely.
Yes.
You know, it was one of those things that is a tragic story. I mean, really, Do you know what happened with them?
With
Arnold and Ginger?
They started going a little yeah. crazy.
Yes. So Arnold, he ended up
OCD.
Yeah, he suffered a nervous breakdown.
Yes.
And because everything was just, you know, they just felt like something was constantly watching them.
Yes.
Constantly, they weren't getting any kind of rest, and it started to get them paranoid, and it just finally broke Arnold, and he suffered a nervous breakdown.
It was like, it's like the Bell Witch.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Bell Witch just was constant.
Yeah. Just torturing them. And they weren't getting any rest. They weren't getting any peace, you know, and then Ginger, she ended up attempting suicide.
Yeah.
While living in the mansion.
And he was playing the organ, had poor art, several symptoms, which may fit the psychological diagnosis of OCD.
Mm-hmm.
Arnold had poor sleep hygiene, was obsessed with playing the organ constantly. He played it so much, he played it until it broke.
Didn't the music change, though? Wasn't it becoming more ominous music, if I remember correctly?
Yes.
It was like up to, you know, upbeat tune, and then it just kept getting more ominous and darker as he played it, you know. And it's just, it unfortunately, we can't go there anymore. I mean, you can go to the property, but the house itself is no longer there.
Burned down, struck by lightning.
Yeah. So I found out that Ginger's dad, Raymond, he published a book under an alias, which I thought was odd. In 1979, he published a book that was titled The Carver Effect, A Paranormal Experience. But the alias that he used, his real name was Raymond, I'm going to say it wrong probably, but Bober or Bobber?
Bobber. I think it's Bober, B-O-B-E-R.
Yeah.
But
he went under the alias of Wolfgang von Bober. I mean, he took part of his last name, but then he added the Von on there and the Wolfgang. I don't know why. I couldn't find a reason why he decided he was going to go and do an alias. But he was the one that actually changed it into Summerwind from the Le Mans. And again, I don't know why. And it wasn't, like I said, it was wasn't until he came out with it that it also got notoriety when Life magazine did an article on the property in 1980, a year later. And
that's what it exploded the popularity of this place.
Yeah, and the article's name was Terrifying Tales of 9 Haunted Houses. And they used his name of the house, of the mansion, Summerwind. And the article completely changed Lamont Mansion to Summerwind. And then the status of the place changed, you know, overnight to this chilling, eerie place forever. And so it wasn't until, like, Raymond changed everything as far as writing the book, and then Life magazine got a hold of it.
In 1980.
Yeah. And then, you know, they ended up moving out of, you know, the house because Arnold went a little crazy. And it's probably not the appropriate word, but he had that nervous breakdown. And then June 19th, 1988, the mansion was struck by lightning and it burnt to the ground. But the funny thing is, nobody tried to put it out.
Yep. They let her go.
Which I find interesting because fire departments, I know up there, they're volunteer fire departments. There's not a lot of paid fire departments up there. So they volunteer their time to do, you know, the fire service for their community. And it does take them a while to get to some of these locations. I know EMS can take sometimes, 45 minutes to 2 hours to get to a location. So I understand that, but they saw the flames. I mean, it wasn't like this place wasn't known, and it's not like you couldn't see the flames, but not even the fire department put it out. Never even attempted.
Yeah, you wonder too with that, if they were, you know, at that time, the kids, just like you had said earlier, kids were vandalizing places. It was a hangout, you know, just let her go to eliminate the problem.
Right.
You know,
because that's what the county wanted. The county was just like, we don't want these people up here.
Yep.
You know, you go up north, and what is up north? It's, you know, a place where they, you know, have their summer retreats. They have their winter retreats, you know. People go up there to vacation and stuff like that. And they don't want this to be the known place of the kids, you know, hanging out and doing the vandalism. And they don't want, you know, that kind of reputation. They want people to come up there and spend their money in their area.
Yes.
So the county was just like, yeah, great. It's burned to the ground. One less thing we have to worry about. But was it because of just that, or was it also because of what was happening, you know, in the halls, on the property? You can burn the place down. Doesn't mean the spirits is gone, though.
Right.
And I think they found that out.
Yeah.
They found that out too late. And that's the problem. You know, it, now you go up there and it's nothing. It's a shell, if not even a shell. It's more of some ruins.
I think they said two chimneys, the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I saw pictures of investigators a few years ago down in the, you know, in their old, maybe like the old furnace is down there,
mm-hmm.
but the grounds are still there, but the physical house is gone. But it's just gone. Like you said, you know,
doesn't get rid of the problem.
Doesn't get rid of the problem, you know, agree.
Yeah. And it's now become a hotspot for the paranormal field. People go up there and it's private property. You can't go on there without having permission. You know, otherwise you're trespassing. And, you know, they go up there to study it and find out what's going on. What is it, you know, Jonathan still walking the grounds? Is it that female? You know, who was it that Mr. Lamont saw that was in the basement? Who walked into the basement? Who did he shoot? And who are these people that are there? And you know, like you said in the very beginning, there's no conclusive answer if it is in fact a burial ground.
Yeah.
An Indian burial ground.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was interesting too, because up there you got some pretty prominent Native American land up there. And I thought maybe it would be, but from what I've read, no. They said a Native American expert took some samples and basically inconclusive. So either yay or nay on it, but you know, it's something's going on up there.
Right. And I mean, Wisconsin, we have a lot of Native Americans that live in Wisconsin, that have lived in Wisconsin. And I know from when I used to live, I live by the Root River here in Racine County. And I also lived by Pikes Creek in Kenosha County. And I know when I lived there, we found little Indian arrowheads
on the riverbanks.
Cool. Yep. You know, so, I mean, they lived in this area and they still, you know, the tribes still live here in Wisconsin that are still left. They live on the reservations, and they live in, you know, the neighborhoods and stuff like that. But they were everywhere. I mean, we even have a cemetery here in Racine, Mound Cemetery, and we actually have Indian burial ground inside the cemetery. We have a, tombstone marker showing that it's an Indian mound. And they've built the cemetery around the Indian mound. Who's to say that they don't have that up there? I mean, you go up north and there's hills everywhere. You don't know what's underneath these hills. It could be anything, especially when it's by a waterway, which yes. Obviously Summerwind is near because it's on the lake area. So, you know, it's more than likely there's some kind of Indian burial ground near the property, if not on the property.
Mm-hmm.
So did they disturb it? You know, even if they moved onto the land itself, and it's been known that you don't belong on that land. You're not part of the tribe. You're not supposed to be there.
That's sacred ground.
That's sacred ground.
Yep.
You know, you're the white man. You should not be there. You're the one that had us come, you know, to this part of the country when we didn't start at this part of the country. And you've moved us from here to there to every place else, you know. And I don't blame them. They have every right to get mad. You know, we invaded their country and told them what to do and move them out of their area. So, yeah, I'd be mad, too, if, you know, you came in and moved me out of my area and everything. And I'm part Native American. I'm Cherokee. So my tribe, they had the same problem, you know, so I get it. I understand. And I understand that, you know, if that's what they did and they moved them out of the area to build this fishing cabin, and yeah, why not haunt the place? Why not curse the land?
True.
You know,
it says here, recently a Native American expert, recently, I don't know how recent this saying,
right?
Recently, a Native American expert was brought in to survey for potential Indian mounds on the property. A spot was identified and he collected some soil for analysis. According to the host, the results were inconclusive and it is not clear if Indian mounds dot the property.
Yeah. So there you go. I mean, we don't know. We don't know for sure. But what we do know is the what used to be mansion, the property that is on or was on, has paranormal activity. They have had things documented on the land. And that goes all the way back to the Lamont family, where he and his servants had seen something, scared them enough to leave their property, leave all their belongings, and never look back. And it's gone, you know, over 100 years now that this has been going on and is still going on.
I just still think of that, you know, to be scared that bad, instead of picking up, you know, something, clothes, whatever, you know, because back then it's not like you had Target or something where you go pick something up. They left right, or she left right now.
I mean, right.
You know, and just beelined out. So something scared them and scared them quite often and scared them quite badly.
Right.
To leave so abruptly like that. It's
right.
Some bad stuff going on there.
Well, and the Lamont family, that was their home 100% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the Kiefer family, and the Kiefer family, it wasn't their home 100% of the time. So I understand her, you know, Mrs. Kiefer saying, forget it. You know, this isn't her home. This is her vacation home. So I get her sitting there forgetting, you know, I don't want any of my property.
Yes.
Go ahead and get rid of it. You want it, take it. It's yours. I'm not responsible for anything that happens to you. I get it. She's not really losing that much because her actual home is somewhere else. Lamont family, though, that was their home 100% of the time. And same with the Hinshaws. That was their forever home, or so they thought. And then everything happened, and it just kept getting worse for them.
Worse and worse, and yep.
Yeah.
Found an article from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
Okay.
About some claim it was torched. People swore that the ghost haunted the Summerwind Mansion in far northern Wisconsin. He says he claims that blood humans intentionally burned the mansion to the ground 29 years ago. So this has got to be a while, 2000, wow. What would that be, 2017?
Yeah.
I suck at math. not just any humans, but rather Land O'Lakes town board members at the time. The fire department and law enforcement officers, their motive, just like we were talking about, they were tired of the vandals and kids partying at the vacant mansion. It was destroyed by fire June 19th, 1988, has been the long accepted explanation. Just in time for a columnist in need of a Halloween story, a man is now sharing his account of what happened. The nephew of a Summerwind neighbor who claims he was present the night he saw the old century place torched. Let's see here. This guy contacted a gentleman by the name of Ronald Ramish, who was on the town board back then. And he didn't want to make him sound like an arson or a liar, but he wanted to get some questions asked. He said, "We were sick of the partying and the stuff out there, but the town had nothing to do with it. And I was town chairman then, and we had nothing to do with it at all. I read him parts of what an eyewitness had said. Fire trucks, deputies, and town officials showed up after dark on the evening of June 18th, 1988. They spread straw inside the mansion and lit it with a torch. They also burned down a garage and two of the outbuildings."
Wow.
The witness also claims an older gentleman he assumed to be from the town warned the neighbors ahead of time not to be alarmed if they saw a fire. And the same man approached the witness and his friends as they watched the fire and said, "You know lightning hit this, don't you?" Interesting.
Right?
The town guy said, "That's all baloney. It was a surprise to me when it was burned down." That's really about it. Saying the town expected to petition Vilas County Circuit Court for permission to burn the building because it had become such a nuisance. 5 years before that, Life magazine, like we were talking, 1980, had featured Summerwind as one of the most haunted houses in all of America. And that brought even more people out there. So you burn it down, out of sight, out of mind.
Right.
Get the people out of there.
Well, and I was telling you, I'm reading this book. I just got this book called Ghostly Tales of Wisconsin. And wouldn't you know it, the first thing that's in there is Summerwind.
Summerwind.
And huh. they talk about the fate of Summerwind. And yeah, they were saying that the entire structure burned to the ground, leaving only the foundation, stone steps, and a chimney behind. That's what they left behind. But it also goes into, you know, in the very beginning, it talks about Mr. Lamont. They were there for 20 years. For 20 years, the gentleman and his wife enjoyed the house without incident. However, often growing tired of superstition, housekeepers warning them, "I'm telling you, Mr. Lamont, we've seen shadows. We've heard voices. This place is haunted." And he's like telling them, "Any more talk of ghosts and I'll become one myself," he tells them. And then he and his wife sat down at their country style kitchen to enjoy a delicious lunch, followed by some tasty dessert. But the Lamonts were astonished that their meal was soon interrupted by a sudden violent shaking. "The basement door," his wife cried. And then she goes, "What on earth happened?" He goes, "I don't know." He stood up, staring at the vibrating entrance. So it's literally vibrating. He stood up, reached into a nearby drawer, pulled out his pistol, which he kept there. And the basement door flew open, banging against the wall, and a tall, dark-haired man stepped into the room. His face was unfamiliar, so he didn't know who this person was. But the scowl of this guy, the spirit, or at this time he thought was a gentleman, suggested that he was out for blood. The door slammed closed, and behind the stranger, slammed behind the stranger itself, and the stranger stepped towards Lamont's wife. And not waiting to learn what the intruder wanted, he grabbed his gun and he aimed at the man's chest, fired two shots, both bullets passing harmlessly through the visitor and lodged into the basement door. And he's like, "That's not a human, he's a ghost." That was his response to it. And it terrified them, and they did their own disappearing act, which is when they fled. Yes. And then they go into the Hinshaws, and when they bought it, this is kind of like the recap that we had just talked about in the early 70s. That's when it became a fixer upper, because it's been, you know, in disrepair since the Lamont family sold to the Kiefer family, who then moved out, you know, in the 40s, and left it there until the 60s and 70s, and until the Hinshaws got it. And they loved it. They wanted it. They thought this was going to be their dream home. They were going to have it, you know, renovated. It was an old mansion. They also had four children at the time. And so they thought, okay, we're going to get this renovated. We're going to get the contractors in. And like we said before, they couldn't get any contractors. The kids feared walking in the hallways. They saw eerie shadows dancing about. And then Arnold and Ginger could rarely move from one room to the next without hearing the chilling whispers of an unseen presence. Even turning on the water was a venture into the unknown. As appliances such as the water pump, you talked about the water pump before, and the hot water heater sometimes failed for no reason. But the machines was always managed to be fixed in a short time later or worked. And then on occasion, they would have this ghost would almost take Arnold's life. And that's where his paranoia came into play.
I found an article on him that's very interesting. It
Yeah. What's
says
the article you have?
it's from a haunting wiki, whatever you're saying. It said Arnold Hinshaw is the main antagonist and the former owner of the Summerwind Mansion. While living in the home, he became possessed and became increasingly angry and withdrawn due to having a mental breakdown, like we had stated earlier. He also used to own a construction company, which he lost since he stopped showing up to work, which resulted in unpaid bills. He slept all day long and became more obsessed with playing the piano. Earlier we said organ, who knows? Playing the piano all night. He also blamed the daughters for minor mishaps. Like one occasion, he became aggressive towards the girls, thinking he took his hammer. When they actually didn't take it, he made the daughters go outside in the middle of the night to find their pet raccoon when he actually killed their pet raccoon as punishment. His family left after his ex-wife Ginger called her father to come and get them, and this was the last time the family saw Arnold. He left Summerwind the next day and was placed in a mental hospital for treatment for his mental illness. It is also said that Arnold was never heard from again.
Wow. You know, reading when you're
Wow.
reading that, I just have flashbacks of Amityville. The same thing
Wow.
seemed to happen with George and
Yeah.
Kathy Lutz. But
Wow.
he just, you know, yeah,
It consumed him. It
yes.
absolutely consumed him. He couldn't escape it.
Right. And then the one I had
Wow.
here, he was going to work or whatever, and he smiled at his wife. She said, "Have a good day at work." He stepped outside. He marched across the lawn towards his car, and then all of a sudden, the car just suddenly went into flames, went up in flames. He leaped back, nearly catching fire himself. He frantically dashed from the yard to check first to ensure that none of the children were nearby, and second to see if anyone else, an arsonist or somebody else, you know, that could have started this. Was present. He found nobody, and then he retreated safely away from the blaze, and he couldn't do anything except watch helplessly as his automobile is up in flames. So it seemed like it was targeting him.
Yes.
And then to make matters worse, like you said, he began having problems with the construction workers and that they had hired, that they weren't coming in and getting the work done. He would sit there and say, "What do you mean you can't get work here anymore?" And they're like, the crew wouldn't go inside. They've been telling all sorts of tales about the bottom line is the place they give us, you know, the creeps. And they will find another team to come in and do the work. They just one right after another. Nope, it's just too much. Can't go in there. I don't want to go in there. So they thought, okay, well, you know, he says to his wife, "Do you have a shoe drawer?" And, you know, across the bedroom closet, they built one into the wall. And she answered, applying a fresh coat of paint. He's like, "Yes, I have. Can you take it out? I want to paint it." And then Arnold requested that Ginger discovered a dark crawl space hidden behind the closet. They, you know, they're like, what the heck is that? You know, and she was too late to catch her husband, who had already wedged himself. Of course, he's going to go in there and check things out.
Sure.
It's a dark crawl space. I want to see what's in there. So what does he do? He crawls in there. And then as he slowly pans the light across the area, unsure of what he's going to find, he never expected to discover. And she's like, he yells, and she's like in a panic, and she's like, what is it? And he's like, a dead animal, a bear or something. And then he says, probably crawled inside the house when the house was being built and got stuck. And he's like, hold on a second, let me get closer. Because, you know, of course, he's got to get closer to this thing. And so he squeezes in. So, I mean, this is a tight space. He squeezes in there, but he's too big. So what happens? When the children return from school, his daughter Mary bravely volunteers. Let's send the daughter
send the
in.
Kid. Go. Yeah.
So
see what you can see.
He's like, here, honey, take the flashlight. Crawl in there. I know it's dark and everything, and the spider webs and everything. It's fine. But tell me what you see. He doesn't say, by the way,
yeah,
I saw something in there. Oh no, tell me what you see. So she goes into this mysterious opening, and the family's anxiously waiting. And then they what followed with a terrified, blood-curdling scream, she finds a person. She's like, Dad, it's a person. The carcass that Arnold had a glimpse was an arm, part of a leg, and like you said, the black-haired skull of a human. So the Henshaws chose not to disclose the gruesome find to the police officers, like we said before. And it wasn't until later when the story was reported, the explanation given was that the family believed the body was too old. They thought any crime committed would have occurred so long ago, the police would not be able to do anything about it. I understand that your family member is missing, but, you know, it's been so long. We don't care. We're
we
just
don't care
keep
anymore.
This here. We're not going to
exactly.
tell anybody. Really?
Wow.
So Arnold and Ginger left the corpse alone, abandoned it where they found it, and once again, entombed it behind the drawer. So, you know, that's okay. We're just going to throw this closet door back on here and ignore that there's a body behind there. And the kids are not going to say anything. And we're not going to say anything. So it's all fine. And Danny will just move on with our lives. And again, I get it. They don't want to, you know, draw attention. But seriously, you throw your daughter into this dark thing, this little closet, and you say, honey, can you go in there and tell me what you see? And the girl isn't going to need some therapy after this. She finds a dead body.
Didn't give her any pre-warning or anything.
Right.
Let me know what you see.
Yeah.
You tell me.
And then they, you know, the same thing. He gets obsessed with that organ that he and his wife purchased. And it's a nonsensical, I can't even say it. Basically, a song that doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't make any sense, correct.
Echoes through the mansion. It becomes more macabre. The notes are more chilling, you know, and Ginger's like, had it. She doesn't want to hear anything. The kids are freaking out. What's wrong with Daddy? Why is he playing this song over and over and over again? Why is it getting scarier and scarier? I feel bad for these kids because, you know, the whole family is... They need some therapy after
that. No, agree.
You know, and, you know, she would glance over and it'd be like after 2 o'clock in the morning and he's still sitting there playing the ivories, you know, and it just doesn't stop. And I can understand that that would drive me crazy hearing the same song over and over and getting to listen to it and it's getting darker and darker. Your husband is going,
insane.
You know, basically mad.
Yeah.
With every stroke of every key, it's getting worse and worse. How do you turn that around? I mean, do you take your family and just leave like everybody else? But did they sink all their money into this? You know, I don't know. But then they had talk about the article of him playing the organ and sweat dripping down his face. And then she's begging him to stop and he's just not responding. And then he spins around towards his wife and he yells at her, "I can't stop. I can't ever stop. The demons make me play." And he kept slamming his hands against the organ, time and time again, louder, faster than ever before. That would terrify me.
Yes.
I don't even know. I'd be grabbing my kids and saying, we're leaving. I love you dearly, honey,
pronto,
but we're right going because there's something wrong. And I'd probably try prying my husband away from the keys. But if I can't get him to go, I'm just going to go and take my kids because that's my priority as a mother.
Sure.
You know, and then, yeah, he suffered a breakdown and she left with the kids, like we said. But she was, she tried committing suicide and she tried to put Summer Wind behind her. She didn't actually go through with it. She ended up moving to, Grayton and lived with her parents there. And they ended up, her and Aaron, or, Arnold ended up getting a divorce. And then she started slowly recovering from the ordeal. And then she ended up getting married to a George Olson.
Hmm.
And they moved on. And she just put Summerwind
behind her. Yeah.
Yeah. But again, her dad, though, he's the one that brought it back. And he wanted to buy Summerwind from them. So it seemed like it went from Arnold to Raymond. And that Raymond was now getting sucked into Summerwind.
The depth of despair there.
Yeah. So it seemed like it was affecting the men in the family.
That's a good point. Never thought of that. Yes.
Yeah. Because, I mean, it was Mr. Lamont first that, you know, yes, his wife was there, but he was the one that was having the problem with whatever it was. And then they don't talk about too much of Mr. Kiefer. They talk about Mrs. Kiefer, but only the fact that she just doesn't want to be there.
Yes.
Doesn't want to be there. But Mr. Kiefer is fine with it. And then there's Arnold and Ginger. And Arnold gets sucked into the depths of hell, basically, and doesn't know how to get himself out of it. And then Ginger's dad gets more sucked in, but I don't think it affected him like it did with Arnold. Only we got, hey, Amy.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
So I don't think it affected them as much only because he didn't live on the property or live in the property. He lived on the property. He didn't live in the house. But he tried making some money off of Summerwind, and he you know, wrote that book and was able to pull some profit from it. But yes, it seemed like Summerwind affected the men for whatever reason. And I don't know.
That's a good, I never thought of that. That's interesting. Yep.
So I'd be interested to find out through the years since, you know, the 80s, when people go there, is it more of the men that are getting affected when they have these paranormal experiences on the property? Or is it?
We'll have to go check it out.
Right. Right. And well, going to have to bring a tent because.
Yeah, you got to camp there.
Yeah.
There's a cabin somewhere.
Right.
You know.
But, you know, there's still some activity to be had around there.
That's what I've heard.
So, and I don't know what people are experiencing nowadays. As far as, you know,
I saw that about activity. 10 minutes ago as you were talking, I was looking. I believe it's just the typical sense of uneasiness, the sense of dread. They said very heavy feeling in the basement, especially, you know, but as far as you got to discredit any noises or anything, you're outside, it's open. There's all sorts of animals, birds, wind, the lake, the boats, you know, whatever. So any noise, I would almost have to discredit like 95% there, you know. It would have to be dead silent, and you're never going to get dead silent in the middle of summer up north. It's not going to happen, you know. So,
yeah,
it'd be an interesting place to go to. I heard about this place years ago. Mm-hmm. Never really looked into it.
We had the opportunity of going there a couple of years back, but then we chose not to, only because, you know, at the time we're like tenting. And I think at the time that we were asked to go there, it was around fall time.
Be a little chilly.
Yeah, a little chilly. And the weather here is so unpredictable. I mean, we live in southeast Wisconsin. This is
north
central area. And so, or not north central, northeast area of Wisconsin. It's north of, if anybody knows Wisconsin area, it's north of Eagle River area. And our family goes up to Eagle River like once a year. My father-in-law's family has been doing it since, I don't know, the 60s, I think, maybe even before that. And it's actually farther north than that. It's north of Eagle River. Mm-hmm. So the weather that they have versus the weather we have changes a little bit faster, and they could get snow sooner than we do. So it was like, do we risk it and tent it and wake up to some snow and, you know, frosty, you know, equipment? And on top of that, you know, you got your equipment that you have to bring extra batteries, because what happens when you have paranormal experiences?
Suck the life out of them.
Sucks the life out of your batteries. So you got to basically be on top of your batteries, and you got to make sure. And at the time that this was happening, the battery situation is not like it is now, where you can get all these different types of batteries. The cameras that we had at the time were different. So it was a lot harder to get the equipment to work the way we can get it to work nowadays. And, you know, we have a little bit more in our arsenal now than we did then as well. But again, it goes back to, it's an open area. And like you said, the contamination of evidence is a lot.
I found it here. It says the paranormal investigators have come up with some amazing evidence, including shadows and disembodied voices. Disembodied voices. You're on a lake.
Right.
Voices travel across water very well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, I a lot of those, you got to, you know, I'm like, Rich, you got to prove this to me.
Right.
You know,
and even the shadows, you got shadows that are moving. Well, okay. You got the moonlight and you got trees running around. They're going back and forth in the wind. And so, yeah, your eyes are going to play tricks on you. You got to have some really solid evidence.
I agree.
It's gotta be like 100%. No questions, no doubt in your mind that is a shadow person. It looks like a person. It's darker than everything around it, and it moves a certain direction, you know, not like, say, the wind is going to the east, but the shadow is going to the west. So mm-hmm. you know that the trees are going to the east and not to the west. You know, it's gotta be like on point.
Yeah.
Like you said, the disembodied voices. Yeah. It could be voices skipping across the lake.
Yes.
Unless that thing is like right up inside my recorder. And there is no doubt in my mind that is a disembodied voice. Yeah. And I heard it. Cause if it's a disembodied voice, I'd be like, did you just hear that? I heard that. And
well, especially now, because I mean, how many around that lake, how many cabins, how many resorts, how many people are camping? How many people are out around campfires drinking and having a good time and screaming out? So, yeah, it's I'd love to check it out, but you could probably discredit 99% of the stuff that you're going to get there.
Right. You Unfortunately, know? Yes, you're 100% right on that.
Yeah.
And Yeah, we could go there and we can see it and we can knock it off our bucket list and everything just to say that we've been there. But the evidence, not to say that I wouldn't bring any equipment with us, just so I can say that, yes, we've been here. We recorded this. We have our voice recorders going. We have a video camera going. Yeah, I'm going to go around with it, but I'm really going to be skeptic of what I capture.
Yeah, I think everybody would be in that same boat.
Yeah.
You got to really prove this to me,
Right.
there. And it's just not, there's way too much. Look at us and look at us in at Jericho in a school. We were getting contamination in a building. This is wide open on a lake.
Right.
It'd be cool to go to. I'd love to see the place. It's
Right.
got some incredible history to it, But if I'm gonna
And
go up there, I'm gonna go for fish fry too. So,
well, and the other thing is, if you go during the day and you have a shadow figure go by, I might look at that a little bit more than I would at nighttime
yes.
and sit there and go, okay, what was that? Because it's daytime and I see this shadow figure. Not to say that I'm not going to be looking at the background. Obviously, I'm going to look at the
Yes.
background and say, okay, what is moving? What isn't moving? Did we actually hear like animals, like a bear going by? Because they do have bears up
Oh
there.
yeah.
And stuff like that. So I mean, I would definitely be more open to going during the day than I would at night, just because I can, account for more things during the day
Yeah.
on this type of an investigation. But yeah, it would be interesting to go there. And I didn't realize how close it was to where our resort was. Otherwise, I'd have my husband take me there because we've gone
Yeah.
even farther.
Be cool.
We've gone to the Paulding Lights in the upper UP area.
I've gone snowmobiling up there and never knew it,
Yeah, and I mean, I've heard of Summerwind. I just didn't realize that it was that close to where we stayed. I mean, it's pretty close to where we stayed in our cabin. So I definitely would have went there. But it's something we can look into to just. There's a couple places that I'd like to go to during the daytime just so that we can say we've been there.
No
Just check
camping.
it. Yeah,
No
just check
camping, Ann.
it
No camping.
Well, maybe you can talk your parents into the camper they got now.
Hey, there you go. Rob's got a big truck.
See?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, we could do Maribel. There's all,
yeah. Right. And
Hotel Hell.
that's what I'm thinking because it's
Yeah.
all up in that area. Just go up there and do a little loop-de-loop. We could go up there. We can go up to the Paulding Light. Paulding Light is a nighttime thing. So that would knock out a nighttime thing and then come back down to Hotel Hell, and that would be a daytime thing. We're set. We're good.
Yeah, that'd be cool to do.
Yeah.
Hit the casino at night.
I know where there's a casino up there too. It's on
Yeah,
the way.
there's a bunch
Yeah.
of them up there.
Yeah. They have a really good ice cream place up there too. I'm just saying. Dairy Maid is on point for ice cream.
I'm in.
Yeah, it is really good. Little town, maybe like 100 people in that little
Yeah.
town up there, but really good ice cream.
Yeah, I thought this was really interesting looking at the history of this place. I kind of just kept digging and digging and digging and finding out a little more and a little more about this place. Very interesting, but yeah, terribly something's going on in that grounds or something, because it was a lot of it too. A lot of
Right.
activity up there.
Yeah. So we're probably going to for the month of October, we're going to go for some places that like another place here in Wisconsin. And I'm thinking that we're going to probably do the Brumder Mansion next. And I know
Game.
Amy's been there.
Yeah, I've been there. You know what? It was cute. We really didn't get anything, but I don't think we set out recorders, and I feel like we get so much off on of a recorder that we should have probably done that. We set out cameras. We did go down, take a lot of pictures, record that, as far as like with video, but we didn't get anything. at the time, but it's really cute. What a cool old building. And
it's close.
The caretakers were so great and they had the best food and, you know, it was great. Everybody there was nice. And of course we went over like middle COVID time. So they had capacity limitations and
sure,
it was just neat because we kind of felt like we had the place to ourselves.
Yeah, if we could get the whole place, you know, we could obviously book the entire place to ourselves. Mm-hmm. And everyone just divvy up the cost. Hopefully, most of us can go.
Right.
You know, you and Rob want to go. I know Lee is dying to go there.
Yeah.
You know.
So yeah, I've been talking about going there.
Yeah, that'd be a cool place. That's one of the most haunted places in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. So that'd be a cool place to check out, too. Plus, right, it gives us something to do.
Yeah. No. It's not going to be, you know, 28 degrees inside the building.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. You have to play the whole, you know, we get the whole place to ourselves. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
I'm in.
So.
You want to do that? October?
Well, we'll do the next episode. We'll do it on Brumder.
Okay.
And we'll talk about when we're going to actually set it up. Because I know.
I think that'd be a good, like, I think that'd be a good, like, February. Because it's close and it's heated.
Right, you know? Right.
So that's big.
But February is also Valentine's. So we got to go around what they're, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Going to be and stuff like that. But yes, somewhere beginning of next year.
Or, you know, even March.
Yeah.
You know, anytime, what these guys, we sure the hell ain't doing Jericho again at freaking the end of, that was brutal. So.
Jericho is a great place, but yeah, not when it's that cold. It was cold. I mean, I'm glad we went back, and that was a great experience. That first time was
just.
I'm cold. Just cold. I'm getting the chills just thinking about how cold it was.
It was so good till we went into the school. We went into the school, and that's it. We walked in, snowflakes flying all over.
We were in the building. It's an old convent in Jericho, Wisconsin. And we went in and it was 28 degrees inside the building that we were staying in. And we were able to get the heaters going because it has no heat. We were able to get the heaters going in our base camp and we only got it up to like 44 degrees.
Yep.
And we were so cold. We decided we were going to go over to the school because they graciously allowed us to go to the school. But the school windows were broken and some were completely missing, and we were there the night that it had a like snowstorm, and we walk into the school and there's snowflakes coming, and we decided to go in this one classroom. The door was closed. It wasn't too bad. And we opened that door and it was like the blast of Arctic freeze came flying at our faces. And it just chilled us to the bone. I mean, it could have been 1,000 spirits in that building, and we didn't care. We couldn't feel anything. Yeah. You, Brian, and Rob went out to Rob's truck to get warm. I tried to sit, and I had like the hand warmers and the feet warmers, and I still, I could not stay warm. And we were supposed to have the place for like, I think it was 12 hours.
Yeah. And we were there for like seven and not even left.
Yes. And it was daylight savings. We were supposed to get an extra hour.
Yeah.
And we just said, forget it. We're just leaving. We're miserable and we're just going to go home. So we've decided as a team that we're never going to investigate in a building in the wintertime like that with no heat. Because
it was awful.
It was awful. I'm surprised nobody got any type of frostbite from it, but you know, we learned our lesson.
And the convent and the schoolhouse is owned and run by our fellow cohorts who own Summerwind.
Yes.
At the old Fox Valley paranormal group.
Yes.
Yes.
Shout out to Fox Valley.
So shout out to Fox Valley. Thanks, guys.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're definitely going to have to stop up there and check it out.
It'd be cool.
Warmer weather's coming, you know, going into winter time now, but we just started fall, but that's something we can do next summer or late spring when the temperatures are warm, and check out all those places. But I think for now, it's that time. I'm sorry to say, we have to say goodbye. But next week we're going to be doing the Brumder Mansion. That's going to be our next episode.
I can send you some pictures too if you want to put them on the
site. Oh, that'd be great.
That would be fantastic.
I've never seen inside of there. Oh, yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Send me some pictures and I'll put them up. So until next time, for our believers, keep believing. And for our skeptics, continue to keep us grounded. I'm Kathy, your host. We're going to say goodbye, guys.
Good night.
Good night. Thanks Take for care. Listening.
Bye, guys. Bye.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this episode. Please email us if you have any topics you'd like us to talk about. Or if you have any thoughts on this episode or our previous episodes, you can email us at SewPitt, SEWPIT, @gmail.com. We'd like to thank you for listening to another episode of